Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. And I will just, right out of the gate, this pollen and these allergies, it's driving me insane. So if you hear me sneeze on the air, just say, God bless you, and we will move on from there. But man almighty, the pollen around Memphis, Tennessee is just unbelievable. But we're still going to get through this. And you know what I need to do, Grace Baker, is I need to order some more Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifiers. That's the problem.
That sounds like a plan.
And because you need them. But the problem, I need to find out if they make one for the car, because that's the issue, is I'm outside and, you're around all this pollen and I'm just sneezing and we will do our best.
Well, you walk outside and your whole car's covered in pollen.
We are broadcast professionals. We will not allow the green dust to take down this show. We are, yes, other radio talk show hosts are mere mortals, but we are, I'm not going to go there. That might be sacrilege. But we're happy to be here with you today, and any home remedies we will greatly accept along the way. Hey, can I just say something about Texas Governor Greg Abbott? I like the guy. I don't like the policies all over the place, but he's starting to come around a little bit. When it comes to the border crisis. And yesterday, the governor was out there and say, you know what, enough is enough. Now, I want to give you some background on what's going on. They are now anticipating about 15,000 people a day crossing the border. 15,000 people a day. Now, if you're doing the math out there, that's around 450,000 to 500,000 people a month coming across our southern border. And the Biden administration is really turning a blind eye to all of this, and they're doing it intentionally because they like the chaos and they know they've got to have replacement voters. It's really that simple. When you look at the polling data, and a lot of people don't like to talk about this, but the polling data was suggesting that in the last presidential election, Donald Trump's numbers among blacks and Hispanics who are already living here were at record levels. And the Democrats see this, and they suspect that those numbers are only going to be stronger as we move into the midterms for the Republican candidates, because everybody has been impacted by Bidenflation. Everybody has. I mean, people are I hear it all the time when I'm standing in the checkout line at the Kroger. People are just really frustrated, and they're blaming Joe Biden, as well they should. So the Democrats understand they've got to have a new set of voters if they're going to win elections. And the folks coming across the border, those are the replacements. Those are the people that the Democrats are going to welcome into the United States with a fruit basket and a Democrat voter registration card. This is what's happening. And if you don't believe that, you are naive. You are foolish. So the poor state of Texas, you folks have been overrun by illegals, and nobody's doing anything about it. Nobody, they're asking for help. No help is coming. Border Patrol, they're overwhelmed. And they cannot accommodate everybody. So Greg Abbott said, you know what, folks, enough is enough. And here's what I'm going to do.
Crossing the border from Mexico into Texas. And at this time, I'm going to sign my directive to Colonel McCraw, the director of the Texas Department of Public Safety, to get that project underway immediately for the zero tolerance and the inspections that will be taking place. Second, to help local officials whose communities are being overwhelmed by hordes of illegal immigrants who are being dropped off by the Biden administration. Texas is providing charter buses to send these illegal immigrants who have been dropped off by the Biden administration to Washington, D.C. We are sending them to the United States Capitol, where the Biden administration will be able to more immediately address the needs of the people that they are allowing to come across our border. To get that going, I'm going to send a letter to Chief Nim Kidd with the Texas Division of Emergency Management, who will be in charge of this operation.
Good for you, Governor. A little too late, but good for you. And I hope we see convoys, caravans of illegals, eastbound and down, heading to Washington, D.C. Could you imagine the scene if you have hundreds of thousands of illegals literally camped out on the steps of the U.S. Capitol? That's what we need to see. But I don't think that's good enough. And again, I don't really like Dan Crenshaw on this. He's a rhino Republican. The guy's all over the place. But even a blind squirrel finds a nut every now and again.
So Governor Abbott has a good idea. He's going to take a bunch of charter buses and send them to D.C. I like the sound of that. Now, he says he's going to send them to the U.S. Capitol. I would kindly ask the governor to also consider sending them to Kamala Harris's house. The vice president's house is in the Naval Observatory. Perhaps send them there because, look, Kamala Harris has forgotten she's the border czar. So maybe if you put some busloads of illegal immigrants right in her backyard, I mean, there is a wall there, so they're going to have to figure that out. But put them there so she can finally start paying attention to this crisis at our border.
Okay, that was a poor choice of words on my part. My apologies, Congressman, but I agree with you, sir. No, it's just a phrase. I agree with you, sir. It would not only send them to Kamala Harris's house. You know what I would do? I would send some buses to Wilmington, Delaware, and just dump them off right in front of the Secret Service shack in front of Joe Biden's mansion. And then I wouldn't stop there. I'd get some more buses. And you know what, Grace Baker? I guarantee you there are people in our audience who would absolutely donate money, send the illegals on another bus convoy to Nancy Pelosi's home district and dump them off there. If the state of Texas has to suffer, then everybody else has to suffer too.
Hey, I think Nancy Pelosi's got plenty of ice cream to pass out too, so.
There you go. You know what? Open up the fridge and pass out the ice cream.
Ice cream truck.
That's
at
what
Pelosi's
I say.
House.
I love it. And you know what? That's how we get them on the buses. What's the Spanish word for ice cream? El ice creamio.
Oh my gosh.
Buenos dias. Come on, senor, senorita. Come on, get on the El Paso.
Come on, hop in the van.
I don't
we'll
know.
We'll take what? You kids to get some ice cream.
Hey, kids, want some ice cream?
That's not creepy at all.
Take them on down to Disneyland and then up to Pelosi's house.
Gosh.
No, seriously. Why should the state of Texas suffer? Why should Arizona and New Mexico, but it's primarily Texas, but why should the border states have to suffer?
I agree.
So I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to open up the phone lines. I want to hear from you. Do you think this is a good idea? Do you think that the governor ought to just, and maybe this could be a nationwide campaign. Maybe we could all just donate money to the state of Texas, start a bus fund, and start shipping these people to these liberal districts and let them get a taste of what the good taxpaying citizens of Texas have had to deal with. And let me say this. We hear from Hispanic Americans on this program, and they don't call themselves Hispanic Americans. They call themselves Americans, but they're of Hispanic origin. And they say, Todd, we are more than angry because they're taking jobs away from our families. And what about the legals? What about the people trying to come here legally? Nobody wants to talk about that issue. Even a bunch of the rhinos who are calling for blanket amnesty. What they're doing and what those rhinos are doing is they're basically telling the people trying to come here legally that they should be breaking the law too. They don't matter. And I don't know where you stand on this, and there may be people who disagree, and if you do, you go right to the top of the list here when you call in. But I will say this. Our country is going to suffer. And there's a very good argument to be made that our country has been suffering because of the millions of illegals that have flooded across our borders, taking jobs away from a law-abiding Americans, law-abiding legal migrants. What about their lives? Do their lives matter? Because clearly, in the eyes of the Biden administration, these people don't matter. And don't get me wrong here, folks. The Biden administration, they don't care about these illegals coming across. They don't. They see that as a people group, a demographic that they can control. Give them free food, give them free health care, and by free, it's our money, taxpayer-funded food, taxpayer-funded health care, taxpayer-funded housing, and a Democratic voter registration card, and they're good. And then they go away, and the locals have to take care of the problem. And that's why Greg Abbott is doing what he's doing. But I say that the border state governors need to take it one step further. President Biden is violating his oath of office. He promised to defend this country against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And when you are invading our nation, when you're crossing the border without permission and you're doing so illegally, that is an act of aggression. That is an invasion. And President Biden has violated his oath of office. If I were Greg Abbott, I would send the Texas National Guard down there and shut down that border. And I'd do the same thing in New Mexico, and I would do it in Arizona, and I would do it in California. Just shut it down and then dare the president to do something about it. If the president of the United States is not going to secure our borders, then the governors have to step in. And then we, the people, will take charge. All right, we got to take a break here. Do you think this is a good plan? The governor of Texas sending the illegals on a bus convoy to Washington, D.C., 844-747-8868. We have got a great show today, folks. A lot happening. North Carolina, your lieutenant governor coming on the program today. Also, Scott Perry, chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, is going to drop by as well. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
With the political pressure of the left and the woke mob that is the Democrat Party, our society has ultimately become controlled by the cancel culture elites. Since when have the founders of our Constitution, the American flag, Dr. Seuss, and many other things become anti-American? There's never been a better time in our nation's history to stand up against the woke mob and fight back. And you can do that with this exclusive offer I'm giving to my listeners for a limited time only. Now is your chance to win a signed photo by President Trump himself. That's right, not only will you be taking a stand against the radical left, you'll be entering to win a piece of history. All you have to do is text the word PHOTO to 55404 today to enter. That's PHOTO to 55404. Join me in standing up for President Trump and canceling the radical left once and for all. Paid for by the National Republican Senatorial Committee. You gotta love this, folks. Rolling Stone, very upset with Greg Abbott, calling him one of the worst governors, one of the most heartless governors in all of America. Well, the argument here could be made that the governor is, in fact, heartless if he does not do whatever he can to protect the law-abiding citizens of Texas, not old Mexico or Guatemala or any of the other south-of-the-border countries. Governor Greg Abbott has a responsibility to the citizens of the Lone Star State. So here's the deal. The way this is going to work, the governor is going to dispatch the Texas law enforcement along the border, and they're going to have at least 900 buses. They say they're going to use as many buses as they need, and they're going to load up the buses and send them to Washington, D.C., And I think this is a great idea. By the way, and it's By and large, we're talking about able-bodied young men that are coming across the border, many of whom have very nefarious ties to these drug lords and these cartels, not to mention the number of very dangerous terrorists, known terrorists, that have been coming across the border, some of whom have been caught, but many have not. So again, we need to, as best as we can, we need to shore up the border. Let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Bill, you are on the line. What's on your mind?
Well, thank you. Yeah, I got about 3 points. You're right. The governor needs to do something, but, you know, the feds are going to do everything they can to stop him. Biden's going to order ICE to have conflict with the DPS people there in Texas. It's going to be conflicting. What bus do you get on? You know they're going to probably send troops in there to fight the governor. It's going to be a real mess. Second thing is, what's to say when they get to the refueling point in Greensboro, North Carolina, and the bus door opens, they don't bolt? How are you going to stop that process before you even get to D.C.? Because you're going to have to refuel that bus halfway somewhere. It's 1,000 miles from down there to get to the district. And the third thing is, get back to the root cause of all this. You know, we got to get back to, like, the baby anchor thing and the 14th Amendment and that subject to the jurisdiction clause that has never been straightened out since they made the ruling back in the 1800s about the Indian tribe nations. Yep. If we get rid of that, then a lot of the incentive for this goes away. You know, the root cause is still there, and it's not going away. And it's been the main conflict between the Dappers and the anchor babies and the Dreamers and everything since. That's why, part of why they're coming. As well as, you're right, you know, they're going to try to get the rolls in there so they can have more voters. Because you've heard this thing around the country, like in New York City, they want the illegals to vote. So it's a mess. But get back to root causes, too. We've got to get the law straightened out and get it enforced.
We do, Bill, and there are some inconvenient truths. Happy to talk about them on this program. But one of the big problems, there was a George Soros-funded effort to infiltrate some of the nation's most conservative religious denominations. The Catholics, the Catholics were targeted, Southern Baptists were targeted, and what happened through that process, many of the largest denominations in the country who would have supported strong borders are now supportive of bringing in as many people as humanly possible. But Bill, you and I both know that there has to be a line. And nobody wants to talk about that. Okay, fine. You want 100 illegals? Okay, I guess we can take care of that. What about 1,000? What happens if it's 10,000? What about 10 million illegals coming across the border? Again, sooner or later, somebody's going to have to say enough is enough.
You're absolutely right, and it goes right back to those first three words in the Constitution, we the people, and that's why they're so against the Second Amendment, because they fear an armed populace.
That's it. Bingo. And Bill, I get these email messages all the time from these woke evangelicals, many of whom you would know. I mean, these are people that have the TV programs. They're quoted in all the big publications. And they accuse folks like me of being a sinner, of being heartless and cruel, because I don't believe we should have 1 million people a year coming across our border. But Bill, Here's how I love playing this, because I'll ask him, well, what about 100 million? Well, we can't accommodate 100 million. Oh, what are you, heartless? You're cruel? It's unbelievable. They don't like the hypocrisy being exposed on them, but we're happy to do that here on this radio program. Bill, good call. Thank you for listening, and we've got to get ready for a break here. But again, there has to be a line, and nobody wants to talk about that. The Democrats, they want an open border. I get that. So do the RINOs. They want an open border. But the reality is, we cannot afford that. The country will collapse. I will say this. Here in Memphis, population 1.4, 1.3, 1.4 million people. You bring 400,000 illegals in, guess what happens? You have anarchy. And that's going to happen in your communities. Senator Tom Cotton put it like this. You've got, within a month, you're going to have the population of Atlanta, Georgia, crossing that border. Who takes care of all those people? And how? How can you do that? The Biden administration is destabilizing the nation. And they know it, and they don't care. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Our website, and we have some great stories up there. You can see the video of Governor Greg Abbott. ToddStearns.com. That's the address. You guys know where that is. All right, we'll be right back, folks. I love watching Netflix, but if you're like me, you may like a show in the UK, but you can't watch that show because you live in the United States. Well, our friends over at ExpressVPN, they've got a solution. ExpressVPN lets you unblock content by changing your online location. You can actually control where you want Netflix or other streaming websites to think you're located. You're in Atlanta? Well, now you're in London, thanks to ExpressVPN, and you don't have to book an airline flight. I love this service. They have blazing fast speeds. You can stream in HD with zero buffering, and it's compatible with all of your devices. And get this, folks, servers in 94 different countries. You're going to be able to watch thousands of all new shows thanks to our friends at ExpressVPN. So be smart. Stop paying full price for streaming services and only getting access to a fraction of their content. Get your money's worth at ExpressVPN.com/Starnes. Use my link at ExpressVPN.com/Starnes to get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Hello, people. Good to have you back with us. Hope you're doing well. I think I took DayQuil. I may have taken NyQuil. I don't know. I'm a little sluggish today, people. Give me some grace. Not grace, but grace. Well, you know what I'm talking about. All right. By the way, I forgot to mention this. So yesterday, Little Red Lion Hood, Jen Psaki, Circleback, actually admitted that the Biden administration is giving all these illegals free smartphones. And the whole point, again, she says this is on an alternative to detention. So they're giving the illegals the smartphones, but I guess the illegals have to make a pledge that they will show up for their court-appointed date, and they will also promise not to break any laws. And if they do that, they'll be able to get a smartphone compliments of the American taxpayers. Grace, I don't know if I'd have known this, Grace Baker, because I had to go out and buy the new iPhone. And geez, Lou, that was
Oh yeah,
like almost $1,000.
Yes,
but it's a great phone, but it's $1,000.
I know.
Had I have known, I would have just gone down to the border. I would have flown into, I don't know, Tijuana, and come back across and identify myself as Todd Starnes, and
the flight would have been cheaper than the phone.
I know it. No, geez, hello. So anyway, there you go, folks. So if you want a free smartphone, just go across the border and tell them you're an illegal. And that ought to take care of that. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. 844-747-8868. We're going to get to Hunter Biden in just a second, but I have a question for Grace Baker. You are a big sports fan.
Yes, I am.
Do you go to the baseball games? Are you a baseball fan?
Not really. I mainly stick to basketball and football, but I have gone to several baseball games, if that counts.
Well, it does count. So let's say you go to a baseball game, and
yeah,
of course, I'm a big Atlanta Braves fan, so you go down to Truist Park, and I'm sure a lot of our Georgia listeners have been down to the field. And when you go, and you get a little hungry, because the games, you know, are what, you know, 18 hours.
They're long.
And so you get a little hungry.
It's hot outside, typically.
And what do you normally like to eat at the ballpark?
Popcorn, hot dogs.
Yeah, I'm a ballpark. Yeah, I like the hot dogs, the Nathan hot dogs, delicious, little mustard.
You know, maybe some Cracker Jacks.
Some Cracker Jacks, a little peanut popcorn.
Nice cold soda.
Remind me to tell you the Cracker Jack story in just a minute here. But so just the regulars.
Yeah, and that's just regular stuff. Yeah, nothing weird.
I love the peanuts. And then like, you crack the shells and you pop the peanuts. So you get a little cardio in while you're sitting there watching the game.
Sure.
So anyway, the Atlanta Braves, coming fresh off of their World Series championship, have announced a new item in the concession stands.
Ooh, can't wait to hear this.
It is a hamburger. Okay. Now, I love a good hamburger.
I do too.
I love a good hamburger. So the Atlanta Braves are selling a hamburger that will cost $151.
What?
$151 for a hamburger.
What is on this burger?
Okay, I'm glad you asked. So the burger is a half pound of Wagyu beef, and it's topped with a couple of cage-free pan-fried eggs. You know, that's important because the little chickens, they have to be able to, you know, wander around and then, you know, poop out their eggs. And they, if they're in a cage,
how appetizing.
Well, it doesn't taste as good. Well, no, it doesn't. Well, I mean, that's the reality of it.
I've never had an egg on a hamburger, so I'm not
going to judge. Have you watched the chickens? I mean, there's videos on the Instagram now of the chickens, like, pooping out their eggs.
I'm sure you could turn on a chicken cam.
The goat lady. Remember, we haven't heard from our friend, the goat lady. Remember
Goats Live.
Yeah, Goats Live.
I'm actually going to check in on
the goats. She calls in all the time, and she, you know, they got the goats there. But anyway, not to get off on an aside, but just think about the first guy who ever ate an egg.
True.
I mean, you got a couple of guys sitting around the campfire back in caveman time, and they're looking at the chicken, and they go, "Hey, you want to eat that?" I'm like, "No, I don't want to eat it. It just came out of that chicken."
It doesn't look very good when you think about it.
All right, so you got the cage-free pan-fried eggs, gold leaf-wrapped Hudson Valley foie gras.
What? What?
Yeah, it's like foie gras, and it's covered in gold, and
Then
on top of that, you got the grilled cold water lobster tail, heirloom that just sounds disgusting. Heirloom tomatoes,
okay.
Tillamook cheddar cheese, and then truffle aioli, which is I'm sure it sounds good, but you know what? I'm a Duke mayonnaise guy. Just give me some Duke mayo.
I hate mayo.
On a toasted Irish buttered brioche bun, $151, and then you get a replica World Series ring. Would you eat something like that?
Oof. For that much? No.
Well, there's also another hamburger.
Okay.
And this one it's the same burger, but you get a side of waffle fries.
Ooh, okay. I like waffle fries.
And it's $25,000.
Whoa.
$25,000, and you get the real thing. So you don't get a replica World Series ring. You get an actual real World Series ring.
You don't get the ring pop version.
$25,000. I'm shocked. I didn't realize they actually sold that. I thought you actually had to win something to actually get a World Series ring. Or, you know, you could, you know, buy it at a flea market if O.J. Simpson is, you know.
Well, hey, you can win it if you can finish that burger. That sounds massive.
It's just a regular burger. I mean, it's a big burger, but one you would get, you know, at like an Applebee's or something.
Wait,
like that.
Wait, oh, so the $25,000 burger
is the same burger.
Oh, it's not the $150 burger.
Well, same burger.
Oh, it is the same burger.
The only thing that changes is the ring. You either get a fake fries. Ring or a real ring. Well, I think the waffle fries come with the other. Ah. They got Parmesan cheese sprinkles. I just don't like that cheese.
Yeah, Parmesan good, cheese. I'll never think of that the
give
same
me a
way.
Good French fry. I'm just curious how many of our listeners would actually. I mean, because now you can, like, if you're at Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles, they're serving sushi. And it just seems to me that ballpark food should be sacred.
Should be cheap.
Hot dogs, popcorn, Cracker Jacks. But I will say this, Grace Baker. If you're looking for the best hamburger in all of America, you can find it in Germantown, Tennessee at the Commissary.
Really?
It's a great barbecue joint, but they make the best hamburger in all of America.
I've never gotten their burger before. I'll have to try it.
It's delicious. I'm just telling you, it's a great burger. So back to Cracker Jacks. And yeah, we're going to be talking about Hunter Biden until the cows come home. So you got, bear with me.
We already
folks.
Talked about Parmesan cheese.
So, oh yes, I forgot it. Good catch. So Cracker Jack has announced that they are selling a new brand, a new version of Cracker Jacks to honor women's sports. And it's called Cracker Jills. I'm not making this up. It's called Cracker Jills.
Okay, I'm sorry, but that's a great marketing ploy. But with everything going on in women's sports right now, this is very ironic. Continue.
And so anyway, the cover of the packaging, and I pointed this out, and people are kind of giving me a hard time about this, but it's true. The Cracker Jills, and it has like an Asian-American girl. It's got a black girl. It's got a Hispanic girl. There is a white girl, and they're all like athletes. And I pointed out that some of the Jills are not crackers.
Oof.
Just thinking about it, it's, they're not. That's false advertising.
Well, how do we know they're girls?
This is a fair point, because Cracker Jacks do, in fact, have nuts.
Oh,
and so I'm just saying, that's in the packaging.
To men playing in women's sports that are trying to pretend to be women.
Oh, that's a fair point.
But you took the other direction with that one.
Well, no, I'm just saying, but here's what gets me, because people are out there saying, well, it's about time. I'm just so tired of eating those sexist Cracker Jacks.
No,
I'm serious. You got to go on my Twitter feed.
No.
People are going nuts about this kind of stuff. So anyway, people think that Cracker Jacks were actually named for a guy named Jack. And that's not true. So I feel the need to clear up any misconceptions about what Cracker Jack. It's not sexist, and Cracker Jills, but that doesn't work, because it's a colloquialism, and Cracker Jack means of excellent quality. That's what the phrase Cracker Jack means, going all the way back to the 1890s. Like, that's a Cracker Jack, and like, wow, that's really good.
So does that mean when you sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game now, and you say, isn't it like a box of Cracker Jacks?
Yeah,
Cracker Jills.
Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jills, which now, quite frankly, is very inappropriate, because you're saying you're going to go out and buy a woman.
True.
As opposed, I know you cannot
make this
up. Cracker
Jack doesn't actually mean what people think it means.
Right. And again, this is the ignorance of society. People just don't do their homework. They just make assumptions, and then they turn out to be idiots. What do I care? What do I care?
Did they put prizes in the Cracker Jacks anymore?
I haven't had them in a long time, but I used to love those. That and the Cap'n Crunch.
Oh, yeah.
And what is it? The Fruit Loops.
I guess you can keep Fruit Loops.
Oh, I love that. Well,
what's
it? Count Chocula?
Yes.
Were you a big fan of Count Chocula?
Cocoa Puffs was my jam.
Are you? Thank you for that.
Uh-huh.
All right. We're going to take a break here and try to regroup. But again, we get so busy, Grace Baker, and we've got so much news. I'm curious to know if people would spend that much money for a hamburger with lobster and gold leaf whatever. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. You know, I have to tell you guys, I just love Newsmax. As a matter of fact, I'll be on Chris Salcedo's show this afternoon. You'll have to watch 5:35 Eastern time. All this week, they're talking about George Soros. He's one of America's most controversial billionaires. All across America, Soros is funding far-left district attorneys for office. By the way, that's happening right here in Memphis, Tennessee, too. And we'll talk more about that later. But once these elected DAs oppose bail, they want early release for criminals. And in some cases, they won't even prosecute felony offenders. It's no wonder crime is spiking in major cities and police are under fire. So Rob Schmidt is looking at this all this week on Newsmax. You got to watch his show tonight, 10 o'clock Eastern. Find out the real truth about George Soros and the dangerous district attorneys who are endangering our cities. You can find Newsmax on every major cable system. If your cable operator doesn't carry Newsmax, give them a call. Say, hey, I want Newsmax. Or you can watch it free on your smartphone. That's what I do. You can also stream on Pluto, Zumo, Roku, the whole nine yards. Millions are switching to Newsmax, and you should too. We'll be right back.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
Friends, since November of last year, the stock market has plummeted, but gold has been on the rise. Gas prices are insane. The stock market extremely volatile. Inflation is even worse than it was last year, and now we have a war with Russia and Ukraine that could spread to the rest of the world. The markets do not like instability. The good news, you have options.
Gold prices are rising as investors turn to gold for protection. Gold provides a hedge against inflation and protects against a weakening dollar. Legacy Precious Metals is the only company I trust for investing in gold and silver. You need an investment that will protect your wealth and retirement. Be proactive while there's still time. Remember 2008? Those invested in gold saw huge gains while others lost their retirements. Legacy Precious Metals can advise you on all of your options for investing in gold and silver. You can speak to an IRA expert at Legacy Precious Metals, 866-528-1903, or download their free investor's guide at legacypminvestments.com.
All right, folks, listen up. Big, big event happening Saturday, April 30th. By the way, tickets, $15. This is the hottest ticket in town, and you're going to get a free lunch. I think Chick-fil-A is serving. So you could spend $15 at Chick-fil-A. So you're going to get a great Chick-fil-A lunch. You're going to be able to hear from some incredible speakers, attend some amazing workshops as we get ready to take back America and win the midterm elections. It's called the Culture Engagement Summit. It's Saturday, April 30th, right here in Memphis. We have a link to the page on our live show blog at toddstearns.com, or you can just go to citizensforamericafoundation.com. That's citizensforamericafoundation.com. Senator Jim DeMint, Pastor Robert Jeffers, Senator Marsha Blackburn, Mark Meadows is going to be here, and yours truly, along with 30 great conservative leaders. You're going to want to be here for this one, and I would love to meet you there. Again, citizensforamericafoundation.com. All right, let's go to the phones here. Mary in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Hey, Mary, what's on your mind today?
Hey, I just had a concern. You're talking about illegals coming into the country, and my concern is that all those able-bodied young men and women coming across our border could be recruits for Black Lives Matter or Antifa. You know, it's funded by a lot of the Soros funds.
No doubt about that, Mary. And I share those concerns. We don't know the mindset of these people coming across. They're not being vetted. And to give these folks a cell phone and make them pinky swear they're going to show up for their court date, that's a pipe dream. Come on. So I think, Mary, you're right to be concerned.
Well, and they'll be hooked up to if you've got a cell phone, you can get involved with a lot of things. So I'm just concerned. I think the next election will be pretty tough, and I think they'll do whatever they have to do to infiltrate our country.
That's why we've got to mobilize, Mary. We just cannot let that happen. Mary, thank you for calling in, and thanks for listening to the program. We certainly appreciate that. An item from our friends over at Young America's Foundation, the conservative students there wanted to put up American flags in the classrooms at St. Louis University. We've got the story up on the website. So the Young Americans for Freedom chapter, they went before the Student Government Association, their peers, and they had to make a pitch. And so the Student Government Association at St. Louis University turned them down, said, not going to happen. And one of the student leaders said they had a problem with the why of it all. Why would you want to put an American flag in a classroom? Why would you want to do something like that? And they said the posting of the flags lacked a necessary motive. Look, here's the deal. You want a necessary motive? How about patriotism? How about a reminder that Old Glory is a symbol of freedom and liberty? And I'm going to go out. This may be a stretch, but I suspect there are a few liberal students at St. Louis University who are actually patriots. So I don't think this is a case of conservative versus liberal. I think this may be, quite frankly, a battle between Americans and godless heathen communist, because you know they're raising up a generation of those folks. So as it now stands, no American flags posted in classrooms at St. Louis University. I had to look it up, Grace Baker. Foie gras is duck. It's duck liver.
Ew, duck liver.
Who wants to put that? Who wants to put that on a perfectly good hamburger?
Yeah, no, I'll do without that.
You know, just give me the gold leafing. I'll take
that.
Yeah,
that's
down
what I was
going to
say. I'll take everything else except the duck liver.
I just can't imagine many Atlanta Braves fans, and I know you people in Gainesville, Georgia. I know you folks in Commerce, Georgia. That's not on the menu.
Nope.
That's not on the menu. I'm just saying.
I'll just take the Wagyu beef, though. That stuff's pretty good.
It's pretty good, but, you know, I'm a regular guy.
You're a regular guy.
Give me some ground chuck.
Oh, gosh.
I'm just saying. All right, 844-747-8868. We are going to have a wild day here in our Liberty University studios. Our good friend, the Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina, coming up. He made some headlines over the past couple of days. We're going to be talking to him about that. Also, the Chairman of the House Freedom Caucus is going to be here, and we are going to do a deep dive into some big, big allegations that could, quite frankly, put President Biden in legal jeopardy. We're going to be talking about that coming up as well. All right. Hey, ToddStarnes.com. During the break, head over to the website, download our podcast. It's available wherever you get your podcast. And also sign up for our free newsletter. It comes out every afternoon, and it's chock full, though not of duck liver, but of great news and commentary. Stick around, everybody. We'll be right back. Well, our good friend Mike Lindell is back at it again. Hello, everybody. I'm Todd Starnes. Mike Lindell not only created the best pillow, but now he's created the best towel in the world. That's right. Mike Lindell found the best towel company right here in the USA. They have proprietary technology to create towels that feel soft but actually work. And they're all made with USA cotton. They come with the MyPillow 60-day money-back guarantee. Get this, folks. You're going to get a 6-piece set, 2 bath towels, 2 hand towels, 2 washcloths made with USA cotton, soft yet absorbent. Normally $109.99, now just $39.99. All you need to do is go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the towels. Just enter the promo code STARNS or call 800-839-8506 for these great radio specials. That's 800-839-8506. Use the promo code STARNS.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. There's something else I'm not supposed to say. Ain't but two genders. Two genders. Ain't nothing but men and women. And I can already see WRL out there. They got them licking their pencils around, trying to write fierce as they can. Get every word of this here. Get every word of this. You can go to the doctor and get cut up. You can go down to the dress shop and get made up. You can go down there and get drugged up. But at the end of the day, you were just a drugged up, dressed up, made up, cut up, man or woman. You ain't changed what God put in you, that DNA. You can't transcend God's creation. I don't care how hard you try. The transgender movement in this country, if there's a movement in this country that is demonic and that is full of the spirit of Antichrist, it is the transgender movement. It's time for grown-ups and time for Christians to start standing up and being unafraid to tell the truth. Come after me if you want to. I don't care. You want my head? Here it is right here. Come on, come get it. I don't care because it's time for us to stand up. And I'm not afraid to stand up and tell the truth about that issue. They're dragging our kids down into the pit of hell trying to teach them that mess in our schools. Tell you like this, that ain't got no place at no school. Two plus two don't equal transgender. It equals four. You need to get back to teaching them how to read instead of teaching them how to go to hell.
All right, that is the Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina, Mark Robinson. He was speaking at a church, and that video, which we have on our website, you can see it for yourself, making headlines all over America. And it is an issue that every single state, every single town, every single city is having to grapple with. And I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We are honored to have the Lieutenant Governor, Mark Robinson, with us. And for the sake of full disclosure, Mr. Lieutenant Governor, you and I have shared the platform a time or two at a number of meetings across the country.
We have, and it's good to be here with you again today, sir.
So, I want to start out here, and I don't mean to state the obvious, but I hope you know that a lot of these news outlets in North Carolina and Raleigh do not like you, Mr. Lieutenant Governor.
Yeah, I know. They didn't like me when I announced. They didn't like me after I did the speech in Greensboro. They're going to continue not to like me, but I want them to know in all sincerity I do not like them either. I think that they are abusing their First Amendment rights. I don't think that they're doing their jobs. I think instead of following me around to find out where I'm preaching at the next church to exercise my First Amendment constitutional right to practice my religion, they should be tackling the substantive issues that are dealing that North Carolina is dealing with, the high gas prices, supply chain issues, and these deep, serious issues that we have in our education system. And from where I'm sitting, they're not doing that. They need to get back to it.
I want to go back to the remarks you gave at the church. Do you have any regrets for anything you said? Are you stand by everything you said?
Absolutely not. I have no regret whatsoever because when we're speaking in church, we're not speaking on from a political angle. We're speaking from a spiritual angle, from a spiritual perspective. We have a First Amendment right to do that, and we want to encourage folks in church to speak up for their religious views. You know. We don't see anybody going down to the mosque trying to stop them from preaching their religion. It's always pointed at the Christians and trying to get us to stop preaching our gospel and stop standing up for what we believe in. I believe we should stand up as strong for what we believe in as any other religion is allowed to do, and we're going to continue to do that.
You know, it really is amazing, Mr. Lieutenant Governor, when you look at the culture. Every time they say this issue has been resolved, it really doesn't matter what that issue is. It's never resolved. The line that they draw continues to get moved. And you do wonder, where is all of this going as a society? And it just seems to me that society itself is really unraveling.
It is. You know, I think it all goes back to the left's attempt to unravel our society, just like you said, to fundamentally transform this nation, to break up the nuclear family, to destroy our traditional values in this country, the values that made this country great. It's just a huge attempt to do that, and we have got to push back against it. And I think one of the places we can make our strongest stand is within the church, because it has traditionally been in the church that America has stood up and proclaimed what is right.
And it's interesting you bring that up, because people get really riled up on the left when they hear Christian churches, evangelical churches, hosting a Republican like yourself. But if you go back in time and throughout history, the church has been used for political purposes. And quite frankly, the civil rights movement was actually birthed in the church house.
Absolutely. You know, I tell people this all the time. If you don't believe that the Christian religion and politics is an inextricable link, then you have not read the gospel. You know, all you have to do is go to the gospel, the story of Jesus Christ. In order for Christ to be crucified, the last step that those folks had to take was to speak with the governor. And so politics and religion are linked to the hip. You can't unlink them. And for those folks who say that the church should not be political, yet run to the church every time they want the church to promote their leftist ideas, is more than hypocritical.
You know, I was just fascinated by your story. And you're a hardworking guy, married, you've got kids. You spent some time serving in the Army Reserve. And then 2018 came around, and I'm curious, you know, that infamous city council meeting where you stood up and you defended gun rights, and people all over America immediately knew who you were. Did you have any inclination before that you would go into politics?
I did not. I was making plans at that time to become a history professor. That is what I plan to do. And at some point, I would still like to do that. But that's what I was doing. I was working full-time and going to school full-time, and I was on the track to try to become a professor at the college, history professor at the college level. Politics, being a politician, was nowhere in the picture.
It was amazing. No political background. You went on in that 2020 campaign, 30% in the primary. You cleared the 30% threshold. There was no runoff needed. You're the first black lieutenant governor in the state of North Carolina history, and you're making a significant impact in the state. I'm curious, what's that been like for you?
It's been fantastic. We've been able to do some things, particularly in the realm of education, with exposing some of the garbage that has been spread throughout education to our children. We've highlighted that. There are other people all around the nation now, other governors and lieutenant governors who are joining in this fight and raising it up to the next level. You know, I tell folks all the time, they say, what can we do about fixing education in this state and in this nation? It takes moms and dads and people getting involved, and that's what we see all across the nation. And if we can continue to be a driver of that, that's exactly what we're going to do.
And again, it's a crazy world we're living in, Lieutenant Governor, and especially when it comes to the what we're teaching the kids and this idea that you're going to be talking to preschoolers. I don't care if it's about straight sex or gay sex. I don't care. Kids that young have no business learning about those concepts, and that's what concerns me. Why are we going into the preschool and the kindergarten and talking about these ideas?
Again, I think there's a myriad of reasons why it's happening. I think each individual that is for it has their own individual reason, but I think the overarching reason for it is to tear down the traditional values of this nation. To fundamentally transform this nation, and the way you do that is to fundamentally transform the minds of its youth. And in this vein, when you're talking about looking at little children, and you're talking about looking at little children, number one, in sexualized terms, is disturbing enough. But to think that you would actually have the unmitigated gall to talk to small children about sex, you know, that's a person that we used to call back in the old days, we used to call that person a pervert. And for my money, that's exactly what these people are. Little children should not conjure up images or imagery of sexualization or sex in any way. We should be teaching these children how to read, how to write, how to do mathematics, and teaching them how to get along with each other. That does not include what goes on in somebody's bedroom. It's inappropriate, and quite frankly, it's evil as far as I'm concerned. And again, it's not about anybody, a grown-up sexual preference. A grown-up has a right to choose what sexual preference or what sexual activity they're going to be involved in, and as long as it's with a consenting adult, that's nobody else's business. But you're not going to bring that trash into these schoolrooms and spread it amongst these children. It's not right, and we're not going to sit still for it.
And I think that is a great way to frame that argument, Lieutenant Governor. One final thing, and again, I've been able to spend time with you, and folks, I can tell you, I know the Lieutenant Governor's heart. He is a good man, and he wants the best for this great country. And they're coming after you because you're making an impact, Lieutenant Governor. That's why they're doing this. But they brought up something that you referenced back in 1989, and you had a fundamental change on your position on the issue of abortion. And I want you in your own words to explain your transition to the pro-life movement.
So in 89, I was completely politically unaware, number one, and had just recently come to know Christ. I was still still very, very spiritually immature. I tell the story all the time that for many years after I got saved, I walked with one foot on one side and the other foot on the other side, as I say. But I just met my wife and we, she became pregnant, and we made the unfortunate decision for her to have an abortion. And it affected us greatly. We have carried that guilt and shame for many years between us, almost in silence. And it is one of the reasons why both her and I are so pro-life right now, because we know the pain and guilt that abortion can cause. And it's one of the reasons why. The number one reason why is because of our faith, because we have grown so far in our faith and we come so far on that walk to know how wicked abortion is. But the other reason is why, and just that just reinforces it, is because we know the pain. And we're not ashamed of that a bit. And those people who think that they discovered that or that was going to be some kind of knock on me, they're sadly mistaken, because I welcome anyone to ask me about that, because I'd be glad to share them with the story of how that's affected me in my life. And hopefully it can help some young person out there or some person out there somewhere to not make that mistake and not fall into that trap.
Well said. And, you know, as we're heading into the midterm, so many churches, and I call them woke evangelicals, Lieutenant Governor, they're telling Christians to disengage. What is your message to the Christian voters of America as we head towards the midterms?
You know, Jesus Christ didn't disengage. He went right into the ecclesia. He went right out to the people, and he even tackled the people and the leaders in the church and challenged them to be better. That's exactly what we need to be doing as Christians now. We need to be following his example. We need to be going out into the marketplace. We need to be challenging the leadership of these churches, and we need to tell them they need to be doing better. We need to stand up for our children and our schools, and we need to stand up for what's right in the halls of our government. If we do not, we're going to find ourselves being dictated to by wicked people. And that is what's happened so far. That's why the wicked folks have so much power, because the Christians have laid down their power at their feet. We need to pick it back up, and we need to move forward and take it back.
All right. Lieutenant Governor, we have to end it there. Great word. I'm still waiting for you to get over to Memphis. I have a table reserved at the commissary, and a rack of ribs awaits you, sir.
Look, I think I'll go ahead and start making my reservations now.
Well, I'll pick you up at Memphis International.
You got it.
All right. Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, great having you on the program, and God bless you, sir.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate it.
All right. Good guy right there. And we traveled all over North Carolina together, and just a good guy. And you know what? What you see is what you get. I mean, I appreciate the way he confronts, you know, these people are throwing everything at him. And he comes out and he explains himself. You know what? I believe, and when it comes to the abortion issue, with Mitt Romney, who's pro-abortion one day, pro-life the next, depending on where the wind is blowing, and he has no explanation for his shift on the issue. And then you have someone like Mark Robinson who said, you know what? Yeah, 1989, I was 21 years old, and I wasn't a person of faith, and he... You know, he became a Christian and he became pro-life, and he told a story, and you got to hear it. So, look, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. I'm curious, you folks in North Carolina, what do you think about your lieutenant governor there? 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
With the political pressure of the left and the woke mob that is the Democrat Party, our society has ultimately become controlled by the cancel culture elites. Since when have the founders of our Constitution, the American flag, Dr. Seuss, and many other things become anti-American? There's never been a better time in our nation's history to stand up against the woke mob and fight back. And you can do that with this exclusive offer I'm giving to my listeners for a limited time only. Now is your chance to win a signed photo by President Trump himself. That's right. Not only will you be taking a stand against the radical left, you'll be entering to win a piece of history. All you have to do is text the word photo to 55404 today to enter. That's photo to 55404. Join me in standing up for President Trump and canceling the radical left once and for all. Paid for by the National Republican Senatorial Committee. Folks, if you are just joining us, I want to encourage you to join us April 30th here in Memphis, Tennessee. We're having a big shindig. It's called the Culture Engagement Summit. Senator Marsha Blackburn, Pastor Robert Jeffress, Mark Meadows, former Senator Jim DeMint, yours truly, among 30 speakers at this one-day action-packed powerful conference as we learn to take back America. If you want information, go to citizensforamericafoundation.com, or you can go to our live show blog, and we have direct links. $15, your ticket gets you entry to all of the speeches and the workshops and a Chick-fil-A lunch. So you're going to want to take part in that. All right, let's go to the phones here. Hendersonville, North Carolina. Dan on the line, WHKP, our great affiliate there. Hey, Dan, what's going on?
Well, I was just, I was just listening to your program. I heard Mr. Robinson speak. The first time I've really heard him speak. And I got to tell you, I give the man kudos. He's putting up with a lot. I know in our state, Raleigh, Winston-Salem, Charlotte, all these folks, that's where the big money is. And that's where Cawthorn hangs out. So it wouldn't surprise me that they're giving Mr. Robinson a bit of a hassle there.
Well, you know, Dan, what I appreciate about him, and I don't necessarily agree with methods and manners, you know, from the pulpit like that, that's neither here nor there. He says what's on his mind. I mean, you know where he stands on the big issues of the day, and I respect that. And you may not agree with him, but at least you know where he's coming from. And I think we need more Republicans with that sort of a backbone. Dan, I wish we could talk more, but we're up against a hard break here. And then coming up, by the way, right after the news break, we've got our good buddy, Congressman Scott Perry, going to weigh in on this dangerous, dangerous situation that's unfolding along our southern border. Also, we are going to spend the entire last hour of the program going into Hunter Biden's email scandal. There's a lot more information coming out. CBS News, Catherine Herridge on the case now, and it's looking rough. It's looking pretty bad for Joe Biden and the crime family syndicate there. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Welcome back, everybody. This, you know what it is, Grace Baker? Why are you guys laughing at me? Because
is it okay
I'm lethargic.
For me to say you're off today?
I'm off today.
You're making these facial expressions, and I'm like over here like, what is he doing?
I'm just having a massive allergy attack. This is driving me nuts.
You're going to have to get used to it, Todd.
Oh my
it's
gosh.
Only the first week in April.
My eyes are watering. People are like, why is Starnes crying? Is he getting emotional?
And just for context, like 3 days ago, it was like 80 degrees and sunny. And then it rained for several days. And then the high is like 55 with a low of 40. You're just like, I can't handle this.
I can't take this.
Can't take it. Oh, just wash my car. Walk outside. It's yellow. What happened?
Unbelievable. All right. Enough of our problems. Nobody wants to hear our problems. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're honored to have with us the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, Congressman Scott Perry. Congressman, you're from Pennsylvania. You guys don't have pollen up there.
No, of course not, Todd. We got allergies in our family as well in the springtime, especially tree pollen is one of the things that we all have to suffer through. And of course, right now, the other thing we're suffering through is about potentially 18,000 people coming across the border illegally. We can probably live through the pollen, but I'm not sure our country survived that.
Now, ladies and gentlemen in the listening audience, that is a professional segue right there. So don't try that at home. Well done, Congressman. To your point, I mean, this is shocking, the information coming out, 18,000 a day. Senator Tom Cotton, I thought, really framed it nicely by saying that's the population of the city of Atlanta, Georgia, coming across that border into our country. And those numbers, Congressman.
Every month.
You're right. Yeah. They're unsustainable.
They are unsustainable in every way. And people like to say, well, if you don't support it, you're mean. You are anti-immigrant that are oppressed, and you're for their oppression politically or otherwise. nothing could be further from the case. We have a system in America. We allegedly we have laws. Now you have to abide by the laws and the system, but apparently the president, Secretary Mayorkas, does not. And I just would ask you to imagine a world that you live in where nobody but you are abiding by the laws, whether it's the invasion of your home or paying your bill or even driving down the street. It would be complete chaos, and that's what we're looking at right now. I mean, it's not only the fact that all these folks are just coming into our country, we have no idea who they are from a security standpoint, but we're trillions of dollars in debt, and we're not changing any of that trajectory, and somebody's going to pay for all these things, and it's going to happen at your local level, Todd. So your school districts, your emergency rooms, your police force. Understand that cartels run the border. They're making about $1 billion, I think, a month or higher. And of course, we have the highest number. We have the greatest number of overdoses ever in history. And with narcotics comes crime, and the criminal element comes with that. And so your safety is on the line, and you have to pay for all that. So, you know, and now apparently, whether you like that or not, you're also, I don't know what your cell phone bill is, Todd, but I'm glad you're happy to pay for a cell phone for all these people to use to get back in touch with immigration enforcement after they're in the country and they have to show up for a hearing. Now, of course, you know, the vast majority of these folks never show up for their hearing, never contact the authorities. They have no intention of doing any of that. They're just living here, and you're supporting them in so many different ways. And, of course, that's a great deal for them. And we understand everybody wants a better life, but it is completely unsustainable.
No, and you're right about that. And, by the way, I actually use Patriot Mobile, which is America's only Christian and conservative wireless carrier, and they do great stuff, and they're sponsors of the program. But you know what? There's nothing free. You pay for the service, and the taxpayers are footing the bill, not just for those phones, Congressman, but it's for their health care, food, lodging, whatever. And I think the average American, Republican and Democrat, are getting sick and tired of all of this.
I think the average American has been sick and tired of it, but, you know, we've got an elitist ruling class serving in Washington, D.C. that doesn't have to deal with any of the common everyday problems that you just mentioned, Todd. And so, you know, they want to feel good about themselves by inviting all these folks into your community, into your home, into your emergency rooms, into your police stations, into your classrooms. And you foot the bill for it, and you deal with the crime and worrying about whether your children are safe playing outside. Those are all things you can deal with, but the elite ruling class doesn't have to. So they get to feel good about their charitable giving based on using your money. And that's literally what's happening right now. And, of course, the government, as it is, run by President Biden, Nancy Pelosi, and at the Justice Department by Merrick Garland, have no interest in prosecuting people that break the law and flout the law. And, of course, each one of us, you know, when you grow up as a citizen, Todd, in the United States, you're expected to follow and honor the laws, but no one makes you stand there and put your right hand up and take an oath to do it. But here in Congress and certainly in the executive branch at the presidential level, we expect them, and the Constitution says so, to faithfully execute the laws. And, of course, he's not only faithfully not executing the laws, he's doing everything he can to subvert the laws.
Congressman, let me jump in here real quick, because the Texas governor, Greg Abbott, has finally thrown his hands up and says, that's it. We've got about 900 buses. We're sending the illegals to Washington, D.C. I want to get your reaction to the governor's decision.
Yeah, look, I think it's certainly a step in the right direction. Again, Washington, D.C. is one of those places that you would call the super zip code. It's where all the elitists live and hobnob with each other and don't have any connection or exposure to the reality of the world and the country they govern. And so I think it's appropriate. The governor ought to be very pointed at where he sends those buses. I'm thinking Alexandria, Falls Church, some of these very uber wealthy places around Washington, D.C., where all these elitists live, and let them deal with the problems right at their doorstep. So I think it's a step in the right direction. The federal government says that each state will have a Republican form of government protected from invasion. Well, we're not providing that for Texas or any state. And I think that it's a great point that Texas is saying, well, if you're not going to provide it, I have a duty as the governor. I'm going to provide it for my citizens.
Well said. On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Congressman Scott Perry from Pennsylvania. He is chairman of the House Freedom Caucus. Congressman, we're going to be talking about this for the next hour on the program. The latest revelations about Hunter Biden. And it looks as though the president is getting closer and closer to being in legal jeopardy here. What are you hearing up on Capitol Hill?
Well, look, obviously the left is going to stall as long as they can. They're going to obfuscate and act like there's nothing to see here. But we've known long before President Biden assumed the office of the presidency, we knew that there were problems here, and the press was loath to report them. The Department of Justice, the FBI, the apparatus here of law enforcement at the federal level was loath to do anything about it. They told us there was nothing to see. But, you know, I'm a strong proponent that if you can live long enough, the truth is always going to come out. And I think that that there are significant problems here. And of course, unfortunately, one of the most significant problems is going to be to convince somehow this Department of Justice to pursue justice at the same level for Hunter Biden, President Biden, and the family at all, with the same vigor as they would pursue you for a parking ticket or a speeding violation.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. That's yet another reason to vote Republican in the midterms, so that maybe we can get to the bottom of all of this stuff. Congressman, real quick, one final note. This is sort of interesting. Nancy Pelosi was expected to visit China over the weekend. China came out with a warning that if Nancy Pelosi did in fact visit China, that they would take strong measures. And now, just a few moments ago, word comes that Pelosi announces that she has COVID. A coincidence?
Boy, it sure does seem coincidental. I mean, I guess the good news is she didn't have to travel to China to get COVID, since they sent it over here to us. But I actually think it's somewhat fascinating and quite ironic. I mean, I've been on the Foreign Affairs Committee since I've been here, and we wouldn't take up one bill that was derogatory or critical of China since I've been here until the pandemic was well underway. And of course, while Nancy Pelosi, well, Speaker Pelosi likes to speak tough about China, let's face it, Speaker Pelosi and the whole left wing of that party, well, the whole left, refuses to actually do anything about China. So I'm not sure, you know, she might have called them in advance and asked them to do that so that it looked good. But look, you know, the rhetoric is something, and it's important, but the actions are where we really need to place our faith. And there's been zero action from Speaker Pelosi to rein in the Communist Party of China. Yeah. And we're way late at getting to it.
All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. Appreciate the great work you guys are doing up on Capitol Hill. Congressman Scott Perry. Thank you, Congressman.
Hey, thank you. God bless you. Have a great day.
All right. The chairman of the House Freedom Caucus. It is a little coincidental, right? Pelosi, I'm going to China. China says, you do that, we're going to impose some pretty big sanctions on you guys. And now all of a sudden, Pelosi's got the China virus. Interesting. All right, before we go to break here, Esperanza has been on hold from North Carolina, listening to us on the talk station, wants to weigh in on the lieutenant governor. Hey, Esperanza, what's going on?
Hi. Not much. I'm just very, very proud of our lieutenant governor.
You know, it's interesting, Esperanza. Here's a guy, never run for political office, first time running, and the guy wins. And I think he's sort of like your version of Donald Trump for North Carolina.
He is. And what's crazy is we voted in a Republican governor. That got thwarted. But I think Mark Robinson got so many votes, they couldn't mess it up.
I think there's a lot of truth to what you just said. And I would not be surprised if one day Mark Robinson was, in fact, the governor of the great state of North Carolina.
I would hope so. We're so proud of him. He really does represent who North Carolinians are, what we believe. We're not all lefties. Leave that all in Raleigh and on the western side of the state, but most North Carolinians are not these lefties. We just don't agree with them.
No, we get it, and we see what's happening. I mean, you've got a lot of people from New York that are moving down, and unfortunately,
right.
You know, they're packing up the wife, the kids, the dog, and their politics. And they're bringing
that's
that,
right.
and it's a problem. And that's why I think you guys need to impose some pretty strict border security measures. So if you see Esperanza, you see a New York license plate, maybe they need to come over and make sure they're going to see the right way of living.
Hey, my father-in-law always said if he saw an out-of-state license plate, especially it said New York, and they asked him for directions, he says, you know what, take 77 North. And you'll get back home.
Well, I like the way your dad thinks. All right, Esperanza, thanks for listening to us, and we appreciate all of our great listeners out there in the Outer Banks area. God bless you guys. Hey, 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. Folks, I got to tell you, since November of last year, the stock market is just insane. It's a roller coaster. But you know what? Gold has been on the rise. Gas prices, insane. Stock market, volatile. Inflation, don't even talk to me about that. And then you got the war. The markets just don't like instability. And there is some good news, though. And the good news is that gold prices are rising as investors turn to gold for protection. Gold, very simple. Gold provides a hedge against inflation. All you homeschoolers, pay attention here. Gold also protects against a weakening dollar. Legacy Precious Metals, that is the only company I trust for investing in gold and silver. You need an investment that's going to protect your wealth and your retirement. So I want you to pick up the phone, give them a call right now. Legacy Precious Metals, be proactive while there is still time. Just remember what happened in 2008. A lot of you people lost your retirement. Legacy Precious Metals, they can advise you on all of your options for investing in gold and silver. You can speak to an IRA expert at Legacy Precious Metals, 866-528-1903. That's 866-528-1903. Now, you can also download a free investor's guide. That's legacypminvestments.com, legacypminvestments.com. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Did you hear about Riley Gaines? This is a name you need to know. She is a great swimmer, a championship swimmer, and she tied just the other day in an NCAA championship, and the person she was swimming against was Leah Thomas, the man who identifies as a woman. And as the story goes, she was on Miss Gaines was on Tucker Carlson's show. And I want to play some audio here. Cut number one, please.
Yeah, like you said, me and Leah just recently tied at the NCAA championships. And honestly, I think the NCAA handled everything extremely poorly, starting from when we finished and I went behind the podium to collect my fifth place trophy. And, you know, they kind of blatantly told me that Leah would hold the fifth place trophy and that I could pose with the sixth place trophy for photos and would be mailed a fifth place trophy in the mail. So
not only are they allowing a biological male to compete in a women's competition, they're promoting that male over biological females who are competing. That's what I'm reading from what you said.
Right. And when I kind of questioned it, you know, I asked him, is there a reason why you're giving Leah the trophy? He just explained to me that we're giving it in chronological order. And I questioned him again, you know, what does that mean? We tied. What are we being chronological about? And he kind of blatantly said, we're just going to give the trophy to Leah. We respect and admire your swim, but Leah needs to hold the trophy.
Does that sound right to you? Again, if they tied, why can't they both hold the trophy? Why does the man who identifies as a woman get to hold the trophy instead of the biological woman who is, in fact, a woman? Now, you can have an argument and a debate over the transgender movement, but no one has yet to explain how do you protect the rights of biological women. Are they supposed to just surrender and no longer compete, or should they just be satisfied with always coming in second place or third place, depending on how many men who identify as women are on the women's team? And that is an argument that needs to be had, and it is only going to be had when people with the courage of Miss Gaines, Riley Gaines of the University of Kentucky, stand up and speak out. She's not being mean-spirited here. She's simply stating the facts. And if the female athletes would follow her lead, the NCAA, and I would say that sports across America, would have to have a come-to-reckoning, a come-to-Jesus moment here, and figure all of this out. Because right now, the only people that are getting shut out are, in fact, the biological women. Hey, we got to take a break here, folks. The Hunter Biden scandal, you're going to stick around for the next hour. We'll be right back.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, folks. Wow, we've got a lot going on this hour of the program, and we're spending a good chunk of the time on Hunter Biden and this crazy information that's been coming out from all sorts of news agencies now that have finally jumped on board and have been now following up on the work, the incredible work of the New York Post, which broke the story in the first place. But I want to play some audio from a conference that just occurred. It's still ongoing at the University of Chicago. Ann Applebaum is a journalist. She is a far leftist, and she's complete sleazoid. She is a reporter with the Atlantic magazine, which is, folks, it's one of the sleaziest publications out there. I mean, just far left. They flat out write lies about anybody, including yours truly. It's just an evil organization. But you need to hear this, because it is a brilliant thing that happened. This woman, the Atlantic journalist Ann Applebaum, was brought down, smacked around during a Q&A session at the University of Chicago by a freshman journalist. As a matter of fact, Grace, we're going to try to get this guy on the show tomorrow. Daniel Schmidt is his name. He's the editor-in-chief, 21 years old, editor-in-chief of the Independent School Newspaper. You know, they identified him in the original reporting as the editor of the school newspaper. And I thought, well, that can't be right, because this kid actually asked a legitimate question. And sure enough, yours truly, never trusting the mainstream media, did some journalism, did some investigating, because we do journalism here on this program. And it turns out that he's the editor of the Independent Student Newspaper. So this kid got up and he asked a very important question about Hunter Biden's laptop and why the mainstream media failed. And the reason he asked this question, and I know that our engineer Kyle is just, his finger is on the trigger, waiting, just waiting to play that audio. But Kyle, hold your horses, because I have more to say. The whole point of this conference at the University of Chicago was to discuss disinformation and the erosion of democracy. And it was as boring as all get out. It was like watching paint dry. Until the freshman journalist, Daniel Schmidt, rose from his seat, approached the microphone, and said the following words.
Thank you. Thank you for doing this. Really appreciate it. I'm Daniel Schmidt. I'm a freshman at the University of Chicago. My question is for Ms. Applebaum. So in 2020, you wrote, those who live outside the Fox News bubble do not, of course, need to learn any of the stuff about Hunter Biden, referring to his laptop, of course. A poll later after that found that if voters knew about the content of the laptop, 16% of Joe Biden voters would have acted differently. Now, of course, we know a few weeks ago, the New York Times confirmed that the content is real. Do you think the media acted inappropriately when they instantly dismissed Hunter Biden's laptop as Russian disinformation? And what can we learn from that in ensuring that what we label as disinformation is truly disinformation and not reality?
I mean, my problem with Hunter Biden's laptop is, I think, totally irrelevant. I mean, it's not whether it's disinformation or, I mean, I don't think the Hunter Biden's business relationships have anything to do with who should be president of the United States. So I don't find it to be interesting. I mean, that would be my problem with that as a major news story.
I just don't find it to be interesting. La-di-da. Where's my wine spritzer? You know, this is the mentality of the mainstream media. They look down on all the rest of us. The condescending voice coming out of that woman. But that young man stood his ground and he asked a very important question. Now, the reality here is this. Most of the newsrooms in American journalism are populated, infested with people like Ann Applebaum. She's the one who decides what is and is not important. Now, I did a little bit of background research on Ann Applebaum, and I came to a rather not so surprising conclusion that this woman is a leftist hack. Pardon me, hackette. Ann Applebaum spent much of the Biden administration literally attacking Ivanka Trump. I mean, story after story after story after story attacking Ivanka Trump. She did nothing wrong. Ivanka Trump never accused of a crime. Ivanka Trump, her only crime, according to Ann Applebaum, was being the daughter of the president of the United States. But it was fair game. It was open season on the children of Donald John Trump. But now, all of a sudden, we're back to the Obama years where how dare you even look at our children? As a matter of fact, it was Little Red Lion Hood, just, what is it, a couple of months ago, who said, we really don't talk about the children of the man is in his 40s. And because of this man, I'll never be able to eat M&Ms again. We'll get to that in just a second. It's a disgusting story. But this laptop, we're now getting word that, and this is from Newsmax Television, we're getting word that even more emails and photographs have been found on the laptop and are in the process of being released to the public. And CBS News is weighing in on all of this now. Catherine Herridge from Fox News Days, now working at CBS. Senator Chuck Grassley says, hey, we're going to have an investigation about this. Let's take a listen. Cut 7.
We have new information this morning about President Biden's brother, James Biden, and foreign business transactions that were flagged by American banks. A Republican senator looking into business deals made by Hunter Biden, that's the president's son, says James Biden played a key role. The senator spoke to our senior investigative correspondent, Catherine Herridge.
CBS News has learned that more than 150 transactions involving either Hunter or James Biden's global business affairs were flagged as concerning by U.S. banks for further review. Some of those concerns including large wire transfers.
You just got to make sure you got all the evidence.
After nearly a three-year investigation, Republican Senator Chuck Grassley told CBS News he believes the president's younger brother James was instrumental in Hunter Biden's Chinese business ventures.
I think James Biden was very much a part of this.
James Biden has worked as an entrepreneur and recently in the healthcare industry.
We will focus on James Biden, the president's brother.
This week, Grassley released bank records indicating James Biden's company, the Lionhall Group, was paid directly by a Chinese finance consulting firm.
And these are records that come directly from the banks, no third party.
Yes, that's absolutely right.
In our interview, Grassley did not allege that Biden broke the law, but he said it's concerning that both Hunter and James Biden were promised retainers for their China work totaling $165,000 a month in 2017 after Joe Biden left the vice presidency.
We have people with the Biden name dealing with Chinese business people that have a relationship through the Communist Party. I think it's very concerning.
This 2019 subpoena, verified by CBS News, shows federal investigators also sought Hunter and James Biden's business records from a major U.S. bank dating back to 2014. Multiple sources tell CBS News the probe by the U.S. attorney in Delaware is exploring whether the younger Biden and his associates potentially violated tax laws, as well as money laundering and foreign lobbying rules. Harry Littman is a former federal prosecutor.
You're working a serious financial case when you're sending out that kind of subpoena.
The president of Public Citizen, a nonprofit government watchdog, said potential conflicts are found on both sides of the aisle.
The Hunter Biden relationship with these Chinese firms is problematic. I think any elected official who's raising concerns about Hunter Biden should have been screaming about what President Trump did when he refused to divest his own business interest.
Weissman is referring to former President Trump's decision to maintain ownership of his global businesses, but hand off control to his two sons. China awarded Ivanka Trump's fashion brand new trademarks while she was a senior advisor to her present father. Separately, the White House chief of staff said this week that President Biden is confident his family did the right thing, adding these actions by Hunter and James Biden are private matters and don't involve the president. CBS News began outreach to James and Hunter Biden's legal teams last week and received no response, Nate.
Well, I can tell you, based on the new information coming out, that Joe Biden did, in fact, know about his son's business activities and, in fact, help support them. And our good friend Jonathan Turley, who you see all the time on Fox News, says that there are emails that reference Joe Biden and Joe Biden asking how he can be helpful to some of Hunter Biden's foreign contacts. Folks, this is a massive scandal that's brewing. We're not going to get to the bottom of it until the Republicans take back control of the House and the Senate. And even then, who knows? But we do need to find out how all of this played out and whether or not Joe Biden is making foreign policy decisions based on favors to Hunter Biden's business associates. I mean, do you really believe that people are spending $500,000 to buy a Hunter Biden watercolor? I'd rather spend my money with Bob Ross, the guy over at PBS. All right, look, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
So here's the story from the New York Post. It is an exclusive story. Miranda Devine is the author. She's been from day one breaking these stories about Hunter Biden and his insane behavior. Here is the headline. Did Joe Biden inadvertently pay for Hunter's wild night with a prostitute? And I will clean this up as best I can for the lovely church-going ladies that listen to this radio program. And all the rest of us. So here we go. It's May 2018, and Robert Hunter Biden is trawling through his favorite Los Angeles escort sites. He orders Yana, a 24-year-old Russian native from Emerald Fantasy Girls. Russian, green eyes, thin brunette, and elite courtesan is Yana's pitch, along with a menu of sex acts. Hi, my name is Rob. I'm staying at Chateau Marmont. Are you available now? He writes. Yana goes to the college. He smokes crack. They drink vodka, have sex, make porn. He balances a line of M&Ms on his private parts and takes photographs of it. Plain peanut, I do not know. Nor do I care to. And it goes on and on and on. He literally spends thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on prostitutes, photographing himself, all of this saved on the computer, on the laptop. All that to say, folks, this is debauchery. You know, they made all these accusations against Donald Trump, all sorts of sordid accusations in that phony Russian dossier. And the media, they bought it hook, line, and sinker. Why isn't anyone talking about actual debauchery, debased behavior, sex trafficking? I mean, it's horrible. A laundry list. Here is not just a clearly troubled man, but a man who is engaged in criminal behavior. And they take a pass. The media takes a pass because they want to. They want to protect Joe Biden. They want to protect the Democrats. That's all they're doing here. And it disgusts me to have to read this stuff here in our beautiful Liberty University studios. Let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Joyce in North Carolina on the line. Hey, Joyce, what's on your mind today?
Hey there, Todd, honey. That's nasty. What he done?
Oh, it is nasty, yes.
What I was wanting to tell you, I don't know if you heard this or not. I heard this on the news, and it really upset me. Joe Biden bought him a big, big mansion in Malibu. And it's $80,000 a month. And our taxes are paying for this.
Now, this is correct.
Get all now, this money to do this,
Joyce. It's a great point you raise, and you are correct. You're a studious listener of the program. We understand that the Secret Service is renting for $30,000 a month a Malibu mansion to protect Lord. Hunter Biden. And I guess sending one of them out to get the M&Ms. I don't know. I guess there's a stop.
What are we going to do about this dumb president?
Well, let's see how this plays out, Joyce. The first order of business is to take back the House and the Senate. Once we do that and the hearings, and Joyce, trust me on this, the groundwork is already being laid among Republicans to launch hearings and impeachment proceedings.
No.
So let's just see. No, not against Trump, against Joe Biden.
I know what you mean, and if we'd had Donald for our president, this would never happen, because Donald would have had a talk with Mr. Putin, and everything would have been fine, and it's got me so tore up, I don't know what to do, Todd.
Well, I understand, Joyce. You miss Donald, don't you? You miss Donald Trump.
I do. Next time you see Donald, tell him Joyce Rogers said hello.
Joyce, I will do that. I promise you I will do that. Joyce, hang in there. Don't be discouraged, and we're going to get through this, so just keep listening to WSIC. They're going to keep you on the straight and narrow. All right. Look, I feel bad for Joyce. I mean, there are so many people that feel just like Joyce feels. They love this country. They're patriots. And they see what happened in 2020, and they realize that all of this could have been prevented. We would not have to have conversations about peanut M&Ms. That hopefully melts in your... Well, never mind. I'm just saying that we would not have had to have gone down this path had Donald Trump still been in the White House. Elections have consequences. Speaking of those consequences, Judge Jackson, now Supreme Court Justice Jackson, who may or may not be the first black woman to be on the Supreme Court. And the only reason I say that, oh, by the way, Politico said that she was going to be the first black person ever put on the Supreme Court. I'm not sure what moron wrote that story, but there have been two, thank you very much, Thurgood Marshall and Clarence Thomas, who is currently on the court. But again, the mainstream media, they don't consider Clarence Thomas to be a black person because he's a Republican. But the reason I said that about Judge Jackson is, and it's, again, with I'm trying to be respectful of the alphabet crowd and all these pronoun folks out there. The reality is no one in the Supreme Court hearings bothered to ask her if she, in fact, identifies as a black person or if she identifies as a woman. Nobody asked her preferred pronouns. And so therefore, we just have to assume, but I don't want to assume because when you assume, you could be wrong. Somebody told me this a long time. We had a teacher. What was that guy's? Mr. Steiner. He taught civics. Back when I was in school, he had civics class. And he said, students, do you understand what happens when you assume? You make an ass out of you and me. I think that's probably the deepest thing that guy ever said. But, you know, hey, I remember it. It was ninth grade. All right, got to take a break here. We got more Hunter Biden stuff. No evidence, please. Welcome back. Good to have you with us today. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Oh, by the way, Grace Baker has already confirmed we've got that reporter, the freshman who quizzed Ann Applebaum at the University of Chicago. He'll be on the program tomorrow. So good job there, Grace. I want to play some audio for you. Before we do that, I want to set this up. About 3 years ago, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the changing of the line, the drawing the line in the sand when it comes to things like sex and gender in America. And if you don't conform to the current way of thinking, you're automatically labeled as a phobe, whether it's transphobe, homophobe, heterophobe, whatever phobe. So there are all sorts of phobes out there. And the issue for me has always been, why are we, you know, why is the culture changing so rapidly? And I wrote about this in a book a couple of years ago called Godless America. And I explained in the book that the culture was not changing, and ideas and cultural norms were not changing organically. It was not some sort of a natural process. This is something that has been that has been foisted upon society. This is something that is, it is unnatural in the sense that it's not something that just happens spontaneously. It's all part of a plan. And that plan is being implemented through our public education system now from kindergarten all the way through secondary schools. So that's where we are right now. That's why we have seen such a massive shift. Now, I want to go back to 2008. I'm not relitigating anything here, but I want to go back and set the history of this for you. In 2008, there was a big battle over gay marriage in California. Now, if you were to step back, and let's just say we have some millennials here, you guys would have been, in 2008, Grace Baker, you were still, what, in middle school or elementary school-ish?
Yep, middle school.
Middle school. All right. So you probably weren't tuned into what was happening with Prop 8 in California.
Not at all.
But Grace, that battle back in 2008, which is not that long ago, in California, which is arguably the most liberal of the states, they voted down gay marriage. So that was the issue, was whether or not we should have gay marriage on the ballot. And it was the Mormons, believe it or not, it was the Mormons that were really the most aggressive in fighting for the proposition that would have redefined marriage. So the Mormons won the day. So anyway, the whole point of that is, in 2008, the most liberal state in America voted down gay marriage. Now, New York was up next, and New Yorkers wanted the vote, but the state legislature stepped in, and they said, you know what, we're kind of nervous. We saw what happened in California, so the legislatures decided to vote on it themselves and not give the people the right to vote. Again, I'm not re-legislating gay marriage. But there was all that to say that overwhelmingly the country believed that marriage was between a man and a woman.
Sure.
And then, boom, all of a sudden, overnight, it changed. And yes. what constituted the shift? And it was through the education system. So I want to illustrate this point on the transgender movement by going back in time just 3 years ago. Now, right now, Grace, they're literally changing the terms. You're no longer a mom or an expectant mom. You're a birthing person. You're not breastfeeding your child anymore. You're a chest feeder. Ugh. So, I mean, these are the terms. The terminology is changing.
Can't keep up with it.
You can agree or disagree, but the terminology is changing. There was a time when a family was, you know, a dad and a mom, and they had a child. They raised a child together. So the definitions of family, they're changing, and it's happening very, very fast. So people are now, if you disagree with that idea that only women can give birth, because now they're out there saying men can give birth.
Yes. It's ridiculous. And then you're labeled as like, oh, you're a hater.
And if you disagree with that, you're an evil person. You're a hater.
You apparently don't listen to science.
You're unkind.
Yeah.
I mean, these are things that are happening in the society right now. So 3 years ago, Dennis Prager was on Bill Maher's show on HBO. And Dennis Prager 3 years ago was just warning people, hey, this is happening now. And Bill Maher and the liberals ridiculed this man. This was just 3 years ago. And so, again, I want to go back, and it's important for you to hear this, because now the people who are on the other side of this, the people who believe that only women can give birth and only women can breastfeed their babies, those people are now being called evil. So let's take a listen to just 3 years ago.
These are giant left-wing lies.
We're talking about degrees.
To say that men can menstruate is a lie, and that is what is said.
Wait, where did that
come from?
You never heard it, right? Okay, check it out, folks. Check it out. Anyone who says a man cannot menstruate is considered transphobic.
I missed this whole story.
You did.
I did.
Tell me where you're getting this. Just Google it. Can men menstruate?
Who is saying this? You're talking about a very small percentage.
Oh, really? Then how do you allow men, biological men, to run against women in the races in Connecticut and set all the high school records?
Okay, but that's...
They're called men.
No, no.
The Nation magazine said they're women.
Okay, but I would agree with you on that. The way you framed it is nonsense.
I framed it perfectly accurately.
No, you didn't. What you're talking about is, yes, someone who is transgendered, was a man, now claims to be a woman, is a woman, okay. Of course, they have more muscle mass. And even Martina Navratilova came out and said, this is ridiculous. You might as well not have women's sport. This is a far cry from saying men can menstruate.
I agree.
But that's not where anyone went with that.
That's not true.
Okay.
At the University of Berkeley men's room, tampons are given out. Check it out.
Girlfriend said, go get me a tampon. That's why.
That's a movie.
Let me jump in here, and I apologize for the language there, folks. But this is what happened 3 years ago. They weren't making fun of anybody, not poking fun at anybody. But I'm just illustrating here and demonstrating that society is not changing naturally. This is something that is being forced onto society. So here's my question. Why does Bill Maher still have a job? If this had been a conservative, and you've heard, I mean, people on Fox News, on Newsmax, they're saying the same things Bill Maher is saying, that men who identify as women should not be running in sports races or competing against biological women. Today, that is a hate crime. So what changed over the past 3 years? And here's where I'm getting at with this. If that idea, that concept changed in just a matter of 3 years, then what's going to happen 3 years from now? What other norm, cultural norm, is going to be destroyed or wiped away? I mean, where do we go from here? Is that it? I mean, have we evolved in this sex and gender evolution to transgenderism, boom, and that's it?
And to that point, Todd, we live in such a social media society now. We're an instant society. So like you said, in 3 years, things can change. And it's like that's getting quicker and quicker and quicker because we have the internet, we have social media, and you don't notice it, but I notice in the ads that are on my social media and just elsewhere, they are slowly slipping those terms in and redefining things. And before you know it, you just think it without even meaning to. You know, you're just like, oh yeah, duh, birthing persons, because you've seen it on ads and you've seen it all over social media.
And aside from, I think, Log Cabin Republicans, they've sort of been out there condemning a lot of this stuff. And Rick Grenell as well, openly gay, and they're speaking out. And I think that's where the loudest voices are going to have to come. But I'm not sure they can do that, because at some point somebody will say, I mean, if you're transgender and you have gay people or lesbians and they're saying, no, we don't believe in you. And they're going to say, well, how dare you?
Yep.
Who are you to say what is right or wrong? So my question is, all right, so this is just 3 years ago when even the far left was saying it's inappropriate for men who identify as women to compete. What's coming down the road?
Exactly.
And then what will happen is someone in the transgender community will say, well, you know what? No, that's unacceptable. And then wherever we are down that road, that person will turn to the transgender folks and say, who are you to say that?
Yeah.
This is my truth. I live my life the way I want to live my life, and that's that.
Well, they're adding new things every day.
Every day. Every day. The culture is changing, and it's unraveling. So at some point, what is the end game? What is the end result? And I'm curious. I have a thought about that, but I'm curious, you know, if our listeners, I mean, you've got to think this stuff through, folks. It's not happening in a vacuum. So this is all part of a plan, and that's why things are so rapidly changing. And maybe social media is leading to that, and you can think it's a good thing or a bad thing, but it is a thing. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I've got to tell you guys about our great friends over at Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. I love these guys, and they are so good to our listeners. They want to help us out in any way possible. And one of the ways they do that is by giving you some great discounts. And if you use my promo code, you're going to get free activation, free premier activation, and a free gift. All you need to do is go to PatriotMobile.com/Todd. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd. You can also call their U.S.-based customer service team. That number, 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. Use my first name. You're going to get free premier activation. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
As a Secretary of Health and Human Services, can you define for this committee what is a man?
You're looking at one.
Great. So you are a man. I like that. Can you tell me, can men get pregnant?
Unless you know something I don't, I think the answer is pretty obvious.
What is that answer, sir?
I'm asking you, is there something you know that I don't know that would say that a man...
Well, I'm asking what you know. Can men get pregnant?
I'm not aware of it.
Okay. Well, Mr. Secretary, materials coming from your department, you've referred to mothers as birthing persons, replacing that title with...
Are mothers not persons?
Mothers are persons, but it seems to be more inclusive, like you're trying to include another gender in that.
I'm all about inclusion, Congresswoman.
There you go.
Wow. Folks, that was actual testimony on Capitol Hill. Javier Becerra, who is the Secretary of Health and Human Services, that's Congresswoman Lauren Boebert. Can we play the first part of that again? This is crazy.
To start off, as a Secretary of Health and Human Services, can you define for this committee what is a man?
You're looking at one.
You're looking at one, baby. I'm a man, woman. And she replied, "Oh, I like that. All right, take it to a cloakroom, folks." Jeez-a-loo. It's just unbelievable we're having these conversations on Capitol Hill. Now you know why the country's going to hell in a handbasket. All right, let's go to the phones here. Jeff in Georgia. All right, Jeff, welcome to the program.
Yes, sir. I was wondering in 3 years what it could look like if it progresses at the same rate. We have examples in the Old Testament. It was given to us as an example of things that happened to the people that lived these kind of lifestyles. You have Sodom and Gomorrah. You've got New Testament. You've got Romans. If you just read some of that, you'll see that we're heading quickly towards judgment. And the only thing that can help, I don't know, I think we've done gone too far, that it's going to be hard to turn it around now, but the only thing that can help is like the lieutenant governor you was talking about. See, when people meet the Lord, their eyes are open. They see things different. Yeah. So the church has the responsibility.
Jeff, yes. I think the pastors have a responsibility to preach and to preach from the Word of God. Absolutely. But I don't think it's the church's responsibility to raise your kids. I think that's the mom and the dad's responsibility. And unfortunately, in our society, a lot of parents have abdicated that responsibility to the television, to public schools, to the culture at large. And they're just not, I think people are just so busy now, they don't want to take the time to actually sit down and make sure their kids are being raised right.
Yes, sir. I totally agree with that. It is the parents' responsibility. But I think as each individual person, as we're even out in society, when we see a wrong, we see people living in darkness, we ought to try to help them to come out of the darkness. Then they're different. You know, then they want to do different. And if they're just living in darkness, they can't understand it. So there's your battle right
But
there.
Jeff, I will say this, that if we look at what's happening, and I've heard the stories from church about, you know, what happened to the Roman Empire, and there are a lot of similarities and a lot of parallels. You know, for me, the number one issue is, number one, the breakdown of the American family. And when you look at the divorce rate, I mean, yeah, we're talking about gay marriage. I mean, what we need to be talking about is the breakdown of the heterosexual marriages, where you've got a divorce rate that's off the chain. A lot of kids are being raised in single-parent homes, so moms and dads are not doing their jobs. But beyond that, I think the broader issue is the abortion issue and the fact that we are slaughtering tens of millions of unborn babies. And I do believe we're going to be held accountable for that one day very soon. Jeff, got to run. God bless you and love all of our great listeners out there on WD. And I don't mean to, we kind of took a deep turn here, folks. But, you know, you can't go around and blame a specific group. We've all got blame to share in this. But nobody wants to talk about the divorce rate, because that hits close to home for a lot of folks, and it's a reality. So we've got to do a better job of taking care of and taking care of our own households. This is America. People come here from all over the world. This is the greatest country on the face of the earth. They want to be able to worship however they want to worship. I may not agree with it, but that's what our Constitution says. I may not agree, and I will defend your right to worship how you want to worship, provided you just don't want to blow the rest of us to smithereens. And the same goes for everything else. And I suspect, by and large, the average American, no matter what shape, size, or persuasion, just wants to be left alone. They want to be able to go out there, live their lives, cling to that American dream. And that's what America is. But there are small and vocal minorities out there, minority groups. I'm not talking about skin color. I'm talking about there are groups out there that represent whatever, and they are very powerful. When you control the media, when you control the narrative, when you control politics, well, you're going to be able to get whatever you want. And that's where we are in the country right now. And we got to fix it. All right, look, we got to scoot out of here. And tomorrow we're going to have a fun show. We're going to be talking to that young reporter who grilled the Atlantic journalist at the University of Chicago. He's going to be on the show. We're going to have some fun tomorrow, maybe try to give away a book or two as well. By the way, Mother's Day coming up, not to mention Easter, but Our Daily Biscuit Devotions with a Drawl. I would love to send you a copy of my book. And if you go to our website, go to the store, you'll be able to order yourself a copy, and we'll get it in time for Mother's Day. Folks, get out there. Be good, America.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.